Hello, and welcome to another episode of the Underreported Podcast. I am Melanie, your reporter, and on this podcast, I share stories of crimes committed against Black women and Black girls because they are underreported in the media. If you're new here, the way this works is I share a story with you, the audience, and I share it with someone in the studio with me. And I have Angel back in the studio again for another episode. So thank you for being here. Just like last time, the way this will work is I'll tell the story and you are free to chime in, ask questions, do all the things. You are the voice of the audience for the episode.
Okay.
Cool.
All right.
Let's do it. So today's story is an unsolved mystery that's haunted a family and police for over a year now. It involves a woman expressing concern for her safety and well-being, and then within a matter of days, she goes missing. Mm. Was it premonition or was it a coincidence? I'm telling this story today in hopes that someone somewhere knows something that can help answer that question and bring closure to that family. This is the underreported story of Alexis Ware. 29-year-old Alexis Ware is a single mother of two living in Greenville, South Carolina. She's a hairstylist and a makeup artist who works out of her home studio, but the girl has much bigger dreams and much bigger plans. She has dreams of moving to Atlanta to open a clothing boutique. And with her decently sized following on social media, she also wants to get in some like Instagram modeling. Mm-hmm. So while she's expressed that she hasn't loved some of the encounters and like private messages she's received on Instagram, specifically from what she calls creepy men, she's still decidedly going after all of her goals. She's recently done some photo shoots for the Instagram modeling that she's hoping to get into, and she's gotten her business license. She has been approved to break her apartment lease because she wants to move to Atlanta to do the boutique. And she's been slowly stocking up on clothing racks and clothes and shoes for the dream Atlanta boutique that she really wants to open.
Okay.
So she's like really kind of having things fall into place for her. She's excited about the prospect of building a better life for her and for her kids. And she's making moves to try to make that happen. On Friday, January 28th, 2022, Alexis drives to her mom's house, which is about 80 miles away from where she lives in Greenville, South Carolina. The family has made plans for the weekend to just kind of spend time together. Nothing really specifically going on, but they just kind of wanted to hang out, and she was coming up with her kids to do so.
Okay.
So Alexis and her kids pull up to her mother's house. Her mother's name is Alberta. They pull up that Friday evening, and like any mama I know, they are immediately fed and then sent to bed because it's kind of late in the evening. By the time Saturday comes, family members have started noticing that Alexis is acting a bit strange. According to Dateline Missing in America, which is a podcast that featured Alexis' story, Alberta says that she knew something was going on with Alexis, but she couldn't really tell what it was. Alexis wouldn't like fully reveal what was happening, but it was obvious that like something was freaking her out.
Okay.
She was dropping hints and saying odd things like, at one point, Alexis told her mom she didn't feel like she was going to make it to see her 30th birthday, which was only 2 months away.
Wow.
Yeah. So Alberta is obviously concerned by like such a grim remark. And so she's questioning her daughter like, girl, why are you saying that? Like, what is happening that would make you feel that way?
Right.
But Alexis really doesn't say much more about that. So Alberta is like, this is my grown daughter, and I'm obviously concerned, but like, how do I want to push, but if she's not giving you anything, kind of like, what do you do?
Yeah.
So then Alexis tells her mom that she feels like she's been followed, like she's being followed.
Okay.
Specifically by a black truck. So again,
Alberta. Oh, so not even just social media, like somebody's stalking her, but like in physical, real life.
Yes. She's like, I think I'm being followed by this black truck. Yeah. And so Alberta is fully alarmed and, again, is trying to pry for more information. Like, girl, tell me what's going on. So, like, maybe I can help you. But Alexis, like I said, she's like dropping these different kind of hints and saying different things, but she's not like fully giving a full picture.
I wonder why.
Yes. So Alberta notices that Alexis's phone is like blowing up on Saturday. It's like continuing to ring. So she's noticing, but Alexis at first isn't saying much about it. And then at one point, she shows the phone. She's frustrated and annoyed, and mm-hmm. she shows the phone to her mom, and she's like, look, I blocked this number, but it's still somehow managing to get through. So she shows her, like, it's blocked, but it's still calling my phone, and they've been calling all day. So Alberta is like, well, who is it that's calling you? Who is this person? And Alexis simply replies, it's the devil, and then leaves it at that. So needless to say, these very like ominous remarks have Alberta really concerned about her daughter and her daughter's safety. And so by Sunday, when Alexis was preparing to leave, Alberta is like, maybe you should stay here. I don't really want you to go with all of these things that are going on. But Alexis says, no, I'm good. I'll be all right. And so she gets dressed, packs her clothes, packs her kids, gets in the car, and heads home. Alberta had calculated that Alexis, around 3 o'clock, she should be home and settled from leaving her house earlier that morning. So at that time, Alberta FaceTimes her daughter, and she's relieved to see that Alexis is home and relaxing in her bed. Mm-hmm. So Alexis mentions to her mom that she's like really exhausted from the day, and she really doesn't have anything else planned for the day, just going to kind of hang out at the house.
Yeah.
So before exchanging their goodbyes, Alexis tells her mom that the next day, on Monday, she was planning to head to the corporate lottery office, which is like the border of South Carolina and Georgia, because she had made an appointment. She didn't specifically say that she had won, but I guess that's what you would infer. I was trying to do some research to understand, like, what about these lottery tickets? Like, what kind of significance is that? But even in listening to an interview that Alberta had, she said, I don't know if she won. She just said she had an appointment that Monday, and she was going to head there on that Monday. Mm-hmm. So Alberta gets off the phone, fully expecting Alexis to be in her bed for the rest of the day, or at least until Monday, when she was going to head to the lottery office. Uh-huh. So she's quite taken aback when a little over 4 hours later, Alexis's ex-boyfriend, whose name is TJ, is showing up on her caller ID. So Alberta answers the phone, and TJ says, have you spoken to Alexis recently? Alberta is like, yeah, I spoke to Lex a couple hours ago. She was in bed. Like, why are you asking?
Right.
TJ tells her that he and Lex they were planning to exchange the kids. Alexis was going to give the kids over to her ex, TJ. But when they were texting, Alexis tells him that she was low on gas. And so she asks if he could put gas in her car and they would do the exchange at this gas station. So the two agree to meet at a 7-Eleven. He was going to put the gas in the car, take the kids, and that was kind of the plan. According to TJ, they get to the gas station and they discuss that Lex instead is going to follow him to his mother's house. So they do their thing and the two of them pull off. And according to TJ, they pull out of the gas station, make a left, and all of a sudden, Alexis drives in front of him and takes off. And then wouldn't answer his calls or his texts. She just kind of goes away.
Now, and he has the kids in his car.
And
now.
He has the kids in his car.
Uh-huh.
So he calls her, he texts her, and when he doesn't get a response, that's when he calls Alberta, like, have you talked to your daughter? Because why did she just skirt off in front of me and drive away?
Right.
So hearing this, Alberta is confused, baffled. Also, this weekend was weird. What is happening, right?
Yeah.
So, and the other thing is, Alberta is like, when I talked to her earlier, she never mentioned that she was going to meet you to drop the kids off.
Right.
She was in the bed, and I thought that's where she was going to be until tomorrow.
Right.
So, like, all of this story is sounding quite weird.
Yeah.
Alberta tries to call Alexis herself and tries to text Alexis, but, again, no answer. So that night, that it was Sunday, right? That night turns into Monday morning, and the family still hasn't heard from Alexis. Alexis never shows up to her lottery appointment, and nobody has been in contact with her. So by Tuesday, February 1st, Alexis's sister officially files a missing persons report, and the police begin their investigation into looking into Alexis's disappearance. So they go to the 7-Eleven, and from what they can see, the video surveillance seems to back up TJ's story.
Right.
They see Alexis's red Honda pull into the gas station around 7:30 p.m.
Right.
But then a tractor trailer pulls in and, like, blocks a lot of the camera's view. But the police say from what they can see, it didn't seem like anything suspicious. There's right. no, like, struggle. It's blocked, but they assume, okay, this is the exchange of kids. Yeah. The gas is happening. And then they do see the cars pulling out of the gas station. And that's kind of it.
With the correct drivers in both cars.
Correct.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. So as far as they know, that's the last actual sighting of Alexis. So they continue into their investigation, trying to figure out what happened.
Yeah.
So they later learn, investigators, they do later learn that about an hour and a half after leaving that gas station, Alexis's car was reportedly seen at an apartment complex about 30 miles away in Anderson, South Carolina. So it's about 30 miles away from the gas station.
Okay.
And because it's an active investigation, they wouldn't, at least in the reports and everything that I was doing in my research, they wouldn't confirm if it was just the car that was seen at the apartment complex or if anybody in that complex also confirmed seeing Alexis herself.
Yeah.
So all I could get is that the car was seen about an hour and a half later, about 30 miles away.
Yeah.
The family themselves go to the apartment complex, right?
Mm-hmm, because absolutely.
They also are trying to find their daughter and their sister. And so they hung flyers in that complex. They hung posters. They speak to people. And everyone that they spoke to never confirmed seeing Alexis. And then on February 2nd, about 50 miles away from the apartment complex now, Alexis's red Honda is found covered in mud on a rural road in an area that is known for deer hunting. Inside the car is her purse, her phone, a bag of clothes, and some lottery tickets, which police say, well, this rules out a robbery. It doesn't seem like there was a robbery because these items wouldn't be in here.
Mm-hmm.
The condition of the car also doesn't seem suspicious. They try to do fingerprints. They try to see if there's any blood, and there's nothing in there. And so they say it doesn't seem to be suspicious. It doesn't seem like there's foul play. But the fact that so much of her personal items were left in this car only leads them to believe something happened.
Uh-huh.
And so they pretty much are like, we're not ruling anything out, but we don't know what happened here.
Right. And this is February what?
This is February 2nd.
And then she was last seen January what?
It was 29th was the last time she was seen.
So this is 29th to the...
Sunday, Monday, Tuesday.
Tuesday, the car is found
yep.
with mud.
Yep.
Okay.
Yep, exactly. In that Missing in America podcast episode that I was mentioning, Alberta says that Alexis had no ties to that deer hunting area. She's like, I have no idea why she would be here. We don't know anybody there. And she would have never left her kids for this amount of time. So something is obviously wrong here.
So this is... It moved from the apartment to the deer hunting place.
Correct.
And they were never able to find out who had the keys to the car when they went to that apartment complex.
No.
Okay, continue. This is crazy.
Yes. Alexis did end up missing her 30th birthday. And while the family held a celebration for her, it was definitely hard to know that Alexis's premonition came to pass. It seems like she knew something was up. A few things that I want to note here is that when Alexis's car was found, the property owner who saw the car and called police said that the car had been there for 2 days. So even though it was found on February 2nd, it had already been there for a couple days. And so when he saw it on the news, he was like, I know that car because it's been out there, which is unusual. And that's what prompted him to call the police.
Mm-hmm.
Police have done, the other thing, again, that I want to note is that police have done extensive searches looking for clues in this case, and the FBI has even joined on the case. It was her family requested that the FBI join because it had gotten nowhere. And so they've all been trying to do investigations into this case, but thus far they haven't had any successful leads. They haven't had any clues. There was, in doing, again, some research, it seems like there was some pranks or hoaxes, people calling and saying she's here and she's there, but none of that has led to anything.
Yeah.
The other thing, again, that I want to note is, according to that same Missing in America podcast, during the last weekend with family, while Alexis was getting dressed, she told Alberta, quote, I have to put my kids first. Lord forbid something happens to me with my kids in the car. I couldn't handle that. So Alberta says that she believes that whatever happened to Alexis, Alexis knew it was coming and was trying to separate herself from her kids. She said that she believes she set up the exchange
mm-hmm.
with her ex
mm-hmm.
so that she would be in the car by herself. And she skirted off to try to separate if whoever was following her, she was trying to separate herself from them in order to protect them. That is what her mother believes.
Mm-hmm.
This is still an open and active investigation. And there's a $5,000 reward through Crime Stoppers that if you have information that leads to Alexis Ware being found, that you would obviously be rewarded.
Yeah. I have a feeling she's still alive, too.
Yeah?
Yeah, I do. I have a feeling she's definitely still alive. All of this, it definitely doesn't make a lot of sense, but it also seems like she was definitely trying to give enough clues mm-hmm. for her to be found yeah. somewhere.
Somehow, somewhere.
Yeah, but there's just, like, I would be confused like the mother is as well. And luckily, this is not that, from when me and you are talking about it, it's not that cold of a
yeah,
case.
Right.
You
yeah.
know what I'm saying?
It's still pretty, yeah.
It's still, I feel like she's going to, I don't know how or what, but they're going to find her. And
yeah.
I think she's possibly still alive.
Still alive.
Yeah.
The other thing I do want to call out is, I believe it was earlier this year, the police, because there was a lot of people asking about TJ, the ex, and like, what about him? Is there anything going on with him? But the police officially ruled him out as a suspect. They say that he is not. Everything that they have been able to investigate leads them to believe that he is not involved in her disappearance.
Yeah.
So he's been ruled out. So it's just a matter of what happened to her.
And wait a minute, was there any money on the lottery tickets? Had she won anything big? Did they?
I couldn't find if what the, I don't know. I don't know.
Because that's the only thing that
But they were left in the car.
Right. They were left in the car, which definitely would make me think nobody was trying to take the money from her per se. But I still, that being a link,
yeah.
I'm like, was
something.
Yeah, something.
Yeah.
Something's off.
Yeah.
Something's off.
Agreed. Alexis was last seen wearing a black bonnet or bandana. We would call it a bonnet. A black jacket with a purple shirt, black jeans, and black Crocs. She has multiple tattoos, including a leaf-like feather on the front side of one hand and a rose on the other hand, and she has dimple piercings. If you have any information regarding her disappearance, you are asked to please contact the Anderson County Sheriff's Office at 864-260-4405 or Crime Stoppers at 1-888-CRIME-SC. Thank you again for listening. Sending so much love and prayers of strength out to Alexis Ware's family and her friends and anyone who loved her. Thank you, Angel, for joining me
Thank
and allowing me to share this story. Until next time.